the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant DM Radio.
Episode 60 of the Sports Report Podcast. Damn, I didn't think we're at 60 already. But it's all good. It's all good. Have Gene on line number one with me right now. Gene, how you doing tonight, man?
All right, how you doing, Will?
Doing good, doing good. Thank you for calling in. As always, you guys can do exactly what Gene did. Hit us up on the phone, 706-993-4606 is that number to call in. Got a lot to talk about tonight. Going to talk about Tiger Woods. Going to talk about them Lakers. Kawhi Leonard getting traded. And Gene's favorite wide receiver, Josh Gordon.
Yeah, that's our guy. unbelievable.
First, let's talk about a little bit. Let's talk Tiger Woods a little bit here. Did he blow his best chance at winning a major?
I think so. I think Tiger's playing his age right now. 42 years old, you know, battling back some other back injuries and the knee injuries and the divorce, the scandal. I mean, it's just right now. I mean, it's just a lot. I mean, he looked. I got to watch like bits and pieces of him when he was on for the British Open, and I mean, Tiger's still Tiger. Tiger can shoot a good game of golf. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's still one of the top players. He just ain't at the level he used to be at. I think his accuracy is gone, and his power's still there. I mean, he's still swinging the club pretty good, but I don't know, man. He's looking old, man. He's looking 42.
I thought he really ruined a chance because it's not going to be set up like that again for him to win a major, and
right.
And I agree with you. He's not a great golfer anymore. He's just a good golfer now. Not saying he can't win a tournament. Not saying he can't win a major, but to foul up the way he did with those double bogeys was just inexcusable. And when you see that you have the leaderboard, the old Tiger would have took your throat and would have closed that thing out. This Tiger right now is doing that. Now, I know at some point a man's life and priorities changes, and I know one of the things that he talks about is he loves watching his kids play, and I do get that. I understand that. But
yeah,
at 42, and you've made it this far back. And I hate to reference this dude, but he said something that kind of stuck close to home. Jason Whitlock says he's playing with Father Time in terms of health issues, and I believe he's right. The man's playing with a fused back. So anytime you get a chance to win one, you got to take it. You also have to realize as an athlete, and I ran track, you also have to realize that as an athlete, you have to realize that the older you get, you have to realize what your limitations are. And I know I can do this, this, and this, but I can't do that. He should have played it safe. He should have played conservative, particularly once he saw he had the lead. Yeah, that's what he should have done. I think he can win. The only concern you would have for that is that he hasn't really been consistent in a tournament. He'll shoot good one day, poor the next, good the other, poor the next. He has yet to string a whole tournament together. And maybe that's part of the coming back process. I don't know.
I think it is.
Yeah, it could be.
The triumph part of it, I think. I think he, I mean, he started well. And, you know, those bogeys. I think he even hit a fan with a ball. So, you know, I don't, like I said, I don't know, because this guy's always been, you remember when he first came in, I mean, you know, he swept through every golf course in every major, and then they tried to tiger-proof him, and then he still swung the club pretty good. I just think, like I said, I think Father Time is definitely undefeated, and I think we're seeing the end, the window closing for Tiger Woods. Like I said, he'll always be a great draw. I think he'll be competitive in these majors, but I just think it's his time. I don't think he can win like he used to. And I think too, I thought he got a couple tournaments back when he started to come back. You could see he was mentally into it. And I think here in this British Open, like I said, I only watched him a couple holes, and he just looked like, once again, that his mental state ain't there again. It's like his focus ain't there compared to a couple tournaments ago, you know, where he was just like sweeping through everybody. Could he really do what he wanted to do? But, you know, this was a different Tiger from 3 years ago, you know. It was a rejuvenated Tiger. Mm-hmm. It was a focused Tiger. And then this British Open, I think he started out well, and then he just lost focus because it just, I mean, you, like I said, you hit a fan with a ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, gee whiz. I mean, he's never been that inaccurate. You know what I mean?
Nope. And between his inconsistency and these young boys coming up, I think it's going to be really, really tough on him to really get a major down. He might get, you know, one of these little regular tournaments out the way. He might get, you know, maybe Arnold Palmer's tournament. He might get that. But anything mm-hmm. U.S. Open, British Open-wise, it's going to be tough. Hell, he the tournament before this, I don't think he made the cut.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. The tournament before this, he didn't make the cut. But he played well the term before when mm-hmm. he started his comeback. I mean, and then he didn't make the cut. So, like you said, I think, you know, this, with this inconsistency, you know, he shot well, and then by the 11th, he was just horrible. And I was like, man, what a Tiger. Did he drink something in between holes? Or I was like, well, what's going on with Tiger? But, like I said, we don't, you know, we can only speculate on his back issue. Is it worse than what it seems?
Right.
Is it or is it getting worse as he plays more?
Right.
You know what I mean? Well,
yep.
And maybe that could be something that's going on too. You know, it's just getting worse and worse as he plays more. So I don't know. You know, I think. Do you think he should start talking? Maybe. Retirement or spacing out his tournaments?
I think you want to space out your tournament. I'm not going to sit here and say retire. He's been playing better than that. He's shown well outside of the miscut. He's shown well, so I don't think that would warrant him to retire. But I do think that when he... I think he needs to start picking and choosing more. You mm-hmm. don't get better than the Open, because the Open is primarily a links tournament. There's no water, there's no trees. You don't get any better than that. But I do think he needs to start spreading them out. Stick with the tournaments that's conducive to the way he wants to play. Wouldn't say go to every tournament. I don't know, for as long as he dominated the Masters, I don't know if he would want to come back to the Masters and play this year, or next year rather. I don't know if he would want to do that, particularly the way they tiger-proofed that thing and the changes they constantly make to it. So he may want to just pick and choose his spots to and mm-hmm. getting to the tournaments that he feels he could be more successful. And there's no shame in that. There's no shame in that at all. That's what makes individual sports, that's part of the greatness of it to me, because you can sit there and you don't have to go to everything to prove your worth. Right. It's just like tennis. You have certain players that can't play on a clay court, but mm-hmm. they're going to be fine on grass, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the same thing, that the same approach that Tiger needs to take. I wish him well. I hope he gets something. Hope he wins one, just to shut people like Stephen A. Smith up. But
yeah, Stephen A. is just all over him.
Yeah, is.
Yeah, he's all over him. And it, and it's not like we said, it's not like he's not playing good golf. He's just not playing the golf we're used to see him playing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he just falls, for some reason, he just falls apart. So I don't. Like I'm saying, we can sit here and speculate, but could it be, like you said, the fusion in his back? Could it be something that it's a reoccurring thing? Like he's feeling good, and then all of a sudden he's starting to feel bad, or he's feeling some pain. We don't know, but that's what it's looking. It's looking like, man, this guy just unraveled. I mean, you know, all the way. It's like, you know, and I think at the beginning of the year, like I said, I remember. I think it was the Open Championship where he played really well, and that was the start of the comeback.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he finished like tied for sixth or something in that. So, like I said, and what now we're getting to what, July
mm-hmm.
or getting into August, starting to wind down.
Yep.
And it's like anything. It's like you beginning of the NBA season or beginning of their football season,
mm-hmm.
team's strong. They showing they could play four quarters in football, and then all of a sudden you start seeing that latter half, that eighth, ninth, tenth week, and then you start seeing the injuries pile up. You start to see teams not playing as strong in all four quarters. It's the same thing. So it's just a process of the season, and I think that's what we're seeing. But he just looked at, like I said, in that British. I just thought he just looked at. Just out of sync for Tiger, just to, like he's wearing down, you know. But like I said, like you said, it could be that fusion. It could be that.
Yep. And for him, and kudos to him on that, for him to come back the way that he did and look like this, it's a testament to him and
mm-hmm.
and his
mm-hmm.
and his. I'm not gonna say former greatness, but yeah, his greatness. For him to come back and look like this. But again, I just hope he wins one, because I believe he's capable of winning one more, you know, before he calls it quits. People forget Tiger's 42.
Mm-hmm.
So he's mm-hmm. not in his 30s. He's not in his mid 30s. He's not in his late 30s. He's 42. So he's playing with father time. I hope he gets one. All right. Let's go into another subject I wanted to talk to you about. We talked about this on Facebook for a little bit. There was a trade in the NBA. The whole Kawhi Leonard drama is over. He goes to the Toronto Raptors along with Danny Green for DeMar DeRozan, and he'd be heading over to the Spurs. Mm-hmm. You thought that was a good trade. I thought it was a bad one, because I don't think DeRozan has it. I think DeRozan is a solid player. I think he can get you 20 points per game. But past that point, I don't mean to put down DeRozan, because he seems to be a nice dude, but he doesn't seem to have it. He doesn't seem to have that star quality. But you thought it was a good trade for the Spurs.
I thought the value came for Toronto with Danny Green.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see more value with Kawhi just coming with all the arbitrages that's over this whole trade. He didn't know, he was unaware, and then he gets, you know, he starts tweeting or starts saying that he didn't want to go to Toronto. So that could be honestly an issue, you know, just coming coming in the locker room or just coming into the organization, coming to the gym. And I thought that Danny Green was like the plus. Right. Because Danny Green, probably he's a blue-collar guy. So he's just going to go and work. You know, he's not going to shake anything up or whatever. But then I thought with DeRozan, I thought like, man, because this dude getting paid a heavy contract. I think he got a five-year, $140 million contract.
Yep.
So I thought him going down there at 28, you got LaMarcus Aldridge, you got Patty Mills, you got Paul Gasol, I think they just signed Bellinelli, you got Rudy Gay, you know, Matt Ginobili's still there, you got, who else, the Murray kid's still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it worked out for him because of the scope of what we're seeing with the San Antonio Spurs. The Mark can go down there and be the star of this team, you know, versus who else? I mean, who else is there? LaMarcus Aldridge? I mean,
yes.
Come on. I mean, he's not, I mean, he's a decent, he's a hell of a player for his size and his age, but, you know, the Mark can go down there and just be a stud. I mean, and I think he'll work well in Pop's system versus Toronto system, even though he was still scoring 20-some points a game in Toronto. Mm-hmm. I think he can still be that plus more in San Antonio. The question that probably everybody, you know, always wants to know is like, okay, he's going from the east to the west,
mm-hmm.
which is a more sped up game, tempo's higher. I think he can play at that level. I don't think it affects him too much. I thought Toronto ran pretty well in the east. And I think he's playing around a little bit more of an experienced cast with San Antonio, with the coaching,
yes,
and the organization. So I think that I thought they fared well, and I think he'll be there for a couple of years. They didn't just get him for this year; they got him for I think the next two, if I'm not mistaken. So they got him for two more years. Here, Toronto gets Kawhi for one, for sure, as what we know of right now. But they get Danny Green. I thought Danny Green was the value in the package. I think that he'll make a difference up there. And they got a new coach. They got rid of some other players. So I think Toronto's on the downside of the Eastern Conference right now. So, and I think San Antonio won't be, you know, what we used to see over the years. But I still think they'll be, because they play within a system, I still think they'll be effective.
I think from the Toronto side of things, you did get better. You got, because in Kawhi, you got a lot of playoff experience in Kawhi. And you have one of the best defensive duos in basketball with him and Danny Green. They bring all that experience together from Pop's system. Did Toronto get better? Yes. But are they better than Boston? I don't think so. Are they better than the 76ers? I don't think so. And I said it to you on that same post. If Kawhi doesn't stay next year, I think the GM is gone. Look at Toronto's history with superstars. Tracy McGrady, mm-hmm. Vince Carter. Chris Bosh was a different animal. He just left for a better situation. But
yep.
This is a dude that told you he wants to stay there. He wants to be there, and they get rid of him. So if Kawhi doesn't stay, forget Danny Green. He's the X out of the equation on that. If Kawhi doesn't stay, I think the GM is gone.
Yeah, because this whole trade was really predicated on, you know, them behind the scenes. It's not like, you know, they informed, because it's a business first, and they didn't inform, you know, Kawhi of, or DeMar DeRozan. What was it? They told him he was safe.
Yes, they told him he was safe.
Yeah, he was safe, and he wasn't going anywhere, and then all of a sudden, he's out of here. And I think that was the, because I'm trying to figure out, I think it was maybe a couple of days when they actually became, mentioned even getting Kawhi,
mm-hmm.
you know, that there could be a possibility that he could go there. And then I was thinking, like, okay, Kawhi Leonard. Okay, what can they give up that makes sense in Toronto? And it definitely makes sense because he's a star. Kawhi's a star. Kyle Lowry is a decent guard, but he's not a star yet.
No.
And so it made sense that they would make the trade by trade, by looking at the trade. But as far as, you know, having prior knowledge or informing, yeah, I mean, it's going to come back definitely on the GM. I mean, he's got to go next. I mean, you already got rid of Dwayne Casey, so yep. You're the next person in line. So if this doesn't pan out like you would like it to, you know exactly. What I mean? So, and I really don't see, people got that speculation about, you know, Kawhi finishing up his year in Toronto, then probably heading over to the Lakers. But he stayed with them a couple times that, listen, I'm not trying to play second fiddle to LeBron.
Right.
So I wouldn't put 100% guarantee that he does that either. And this could make this GM look like a genius if he could get this guy to resign in Toronto.
Yeah. It's definitely boom or bust, but if it booms, you'll be talked about for quite some time. Ebony Williams said it best. I love Ebony Williams. If you don't know who Ebony Williams is, you need to look her up. She is a part-time host on some of the Fox sports shows, such as First Thing First, FS1, Undisputed. She said that day, there's no such thing called loyalty in pro sports, only aligned interest. And I love that statement because it's so true. It's so true.
It is, because the way it's going on, I mean, it's not even about loyalty no more. Got teams and organizations are trying to haul in the big names at whatever cost.
Yep. You got Magic saying he'll step down in 2 years if you don't get a big name free agent. He got you one.
Yeah. Yeah, he got one, but that too wasn't hard because, you know, do we know? I think this conversation took place when LeBron came back to Cleveland
right. With
Dan Gilbert. And I think that's why Dan Gilbert wrote the letter he wrote this time around, because he knew. I think a conversation took place like, look, I'm going to give you these many years. Whatever I got to tell people, I'll tell people. But if this isn't, there must have been some type of speculation in there or some type of criteria. If I'm not doing this by then you know I'm going to leave. So I think Dan Gilbert knew, and I think to go back to Toronto being better with Kawhi, I think the Wizards will take over their place. I think the Wizards are a lot better.
Yeah.
So, I think the Wizards are going to be able to compete a little bit better this year with LeBron not in the East.
I think they will, too.
It'll bring more balance in the top-tier teams, Boston and Philly and the Wizards and Toronto, so Milwaukee. It'll bring some balance. I think we're going to see a more competitive Eastern Conference with Kawhi going to Toronto.
Do you like that big three with the Wizards?
Who, Wall?
Wall, Bill, and Howard.
Yeah. I like, John Wall always gave everybody fits in the Eastern Conference. Him by himself. He just got his fits. I mean, he gave Cleveland fits all year.
Yep.
And Bradley Beal's he's that sidekick. He's that guy that's going to make the shots that sometimes need to be made when they need to be made. Bradley Beal's pretty efficient. That's what I like about him. And but Howard in Washington, because there is no other really center but Mahani. Let me pronounce his name correct. Ian Mahanami or something like that.
You did better than me.
Yeah, this guy. But he's the only other center. You know, he's 31, and there's really, if you look at the Eastern Conference, period, there really isn't a big in the Eastern Conference. So I think he makes an impact
outside of
just by coming. Yeah, just by coming to the East. I can't think of any other dominant center in the East right now. So with Dwight Howard coming, I think it makes them, it gives them an edge over a lot of the teams, because I think, well, who's over in Boston? Hayward or...
Well, you do. You have Al Horford.
Horford, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we talking Horford, he's the big over in the East.
Right.
So now we add, you know, Dwight Howard to the East. It makes it, mm-hmm, it makes it a little bit more,
you got Horford,
competitive.
You got
Horford. It makes them have, it got a little bit of an edge over pretty much everybody. Unless the Cavs can make a play on Clint Capella, because that's been surfing around like, man, he come to Cleveland. Because he hasn't signed with Houston. He hasn't signed back with Houston yet. So I think they wanted to get the Carmelo issue done
before
they wanted to go to Clint Capella.
Right. We're going to talk about Carmelo in a minute.
Okay. But yeah, but if Clint could have came to the East, then that's a difference too. That's an edge too. But yeah, but I think that Dwight Howard definitely makes an impact in the East in this upcoming season.
Because right now you have three big men. You got Embiid, you got Horford, and you have Dwight. Mm-hmm. And Dwight makes me so angry. If Dwight plays the way Clint Capella plays,
mm-hmm,
no one would ever complain about Dwight. No one would ever have a bad word to say about him, and he would have stuck on some of these teams.
Yep.
He works hard, he does, but he wants to play his way. And he can't, for some reason, he won't conform with a team to play team ball. He wants to play his way, and he wants to laugh and joke in the locker room, and that makes himself wear thin on organizations. And no one wants to keep him. He's been on how many teams in how many years? He went home to...
He's been in, what, six total, five total?
He went back home to Atlanta.
But he went to... Yeah, Atlanta, what is it? He went from the Lakers, he went to...
Houston. Orlando.
Atlanta.
L.A., Houston, Atlanta. Then he went, mm-hmm, to... Charlotte. Was it Charlotte?
No, he played a year in, I'm trying to think, hold on. I think he went Lakers, and went Orlando, Lakers, Houston.
Mm-hmm. Atlanta.
Atlanta. I think it was Charlotte last year.
I think it was Charlotte last year. And then, if that trade would have upheld, he would have been a New Jersey, a Brooklyn Net. But it didn't.
If it would have, yeah, but they put him on waivers. They was gonna get him out of there.
Right.
He was just trade bait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's been about five teams, six teams, maybe three in the last 3 years?
Yep.
4 years.
Yep.
So,
that's a damn shame.
I mean, for a big man, I mean, he's got 14 years in. Mm-hmm. I mean, he goes Orlando, Lakers, Houston, Atlanta, Charlotte Bobcats, now to the Washington Wizards. So, yeah, and he hasn't, I think last year he did pretty good. I think he was like 16 and maybe 5,
mm-hmm,
on the season. So, I mean that was better, but you got to look at what he was playing with,
right,
in Atlanta. You know what I mean? So he was going to be dominant.
Yeah.
He was going to be able to contribute a lot more. But the Bobcats, we didn't hear nothing.
Nope.
You know.
I think he had one. I think he had a 31-point game toward the end of the year. But outside of, mm-hmm, that, he remained silent. And if he would just take that page from Clint Capella's book, roll and rebound is all you have to do. And for some odd reason, he wants to stay out there and take jump shots. Dude, you're 6'10". With a body like that? Oh, wow.
He started that, I think, when he got to Houston. where he started pulling away on trying to shoot that 5, 6, 7, 8 footer. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, which he needed to add to his game as his career went on. He needed to be able to hit that short shot.
Right.
But it seemed like when he added that to his game, it seemed like it took something away from his game.
Right.
And his ability to rebound, his ability to score on putbacks because he was too far away from the rim. So it was things that it didn't help him with. And, you know, they all say, I mean, I guess around the league, that he's soft. So
I believe it.
And he shows it sometimes. I mean, he just ain't as dominant as he was in Orlando. I don't care where he went after Orlando.
Nope.
He just wasn't the same type of player.
Nope. It's like, and this kills me about these young guys and guys who I may be disrespecting, but I'm gonna say it anyway, damn it. Guys who don't want to win or guys who don't care about winning. If he loses, you know, we lost. Oh well, the sun will come up tomorrow.
Yep.
Versus guys like
he still gets his
yep.
$20 million he was getting every year.
Yep.
You know, $21 million. And this is one of the smaller contracts he signed. I think he got a 2-year $10 million contract with him.
I think it was with Washington.
So yeah, so he's not in the money bracket anymore. Mm-hmm. So he's made a ton of it.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's what he's got, the Carmelo syndrome. Get the money first, and we'll think about playing second.
Oh, yeah. And it's really a damn shame because him and the guy we're about to bring up right now, Carmelo Anthony, is just, to me, it's wasteful because you're in the NBA. True, you want to get your market value. You want to get your money. I get it. I understand that. But do you know, If you win an NBA championship, if you get a ring, how much more money you can make?
Yeah, and that's value to your legacy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think Carmelo's actually never, and we talked about this before, he's never wavered away from money first.
Nope.
He's always been the big contract, signed it, get the big money. When he went to New York, you know, before they got the, what was the big they had, Stoudemire, you know, he was supposed to have been the man, you know, and then, you know, well, Stoudemire got a little upset because I think they signed Stoudemire first and then they got Carmelo, and then that's where all the problems started happening, but he had problems in New York. I always said Carmelo had the best one dribble pull up in the business, and I still say that. I think he's more of a set shooter, but I think his mindset is about him, and I don't think he wants to put in the extra work to be a championship caliber player.
I would agree.
I don't consider him a superstar. I consider him a star.
Yes.
But not a superstar.
Yes.
And I think at this point in his career, the window's definitely closing a lot faster on him. So he's trying to, you know, he's trying to make sure he's getting what he can get before he check out. But, you know, this move to Houston, once again, I thought it was a good fit in OKC because of the style of play. With Westbrook, he doesn't have to do much. All he has to do is be able to hit the outside shots, drain the threes. We know we're not going to see any defense out of him.
Right.
But he became a set shooter. And that's all he wanted to do, or that's all he maybe could do. But that's what he done in OKC. And he probably never developed a real relationship because it's always been about him. He's never made players around him better.
Right.
He's always been came in as a star with the star name and the star luggage.
Star class.
But he always, and then he always checks out as the role guy.
He had
the role player.
He had to start class when he came into the league, too. Because wasn't he the same right. class as LeBron?
Yep. He came, well, that whole class, I think, 1 through 5, 2003, everybody's won a title. Even Darko Milicic or whatever his name was, he's even won one. I think he went to Detroit and won one or whatever, but he wasn't a factor, but he's even got a ring. Carmelo has none. He's on the outside looking in, and from a basketball standpoint, just from, you know, what we know, his selfishness is got him what where he's at today.
Yep.
And now he's a journeyman.
I agree. I do agree. I don't know. Everybody thinks it's a foregone conclusion that he goes to Houston. I don't know if he wants to play with Mike D'Antoni again.
Well, the thing is, and here's the deal on this. Now, once again, this deal is in principle, which means everybody's agreed to it. But he hasn't actually signed with Houston. He is not on their roster.
Right.
He is still on Atlanta's roster. So it's still not a complete done deal as of today. It's not a done deal as far as signing. But in principle, they've agreed he's going to go there and pass a physical, whatever. But it still isn't a done deal yet. So, I mean, I know he's going there. I don't know how happy those guys are to have him down there. you know, but you get Clint Capella back, and maybe he's not, because I thought Trevor Ariza wasn't a better player than Carmelo, but he has better athleticism than Carmelo.
Right.
And he plays a younger game. So you're missing a lot when you bring Carmelo. It's going to kind of stagnate a little bit, because you know how he goes in offenses. Is bring the ball up, you get it to Carmelo, and it goes in the air.
Yep.
There's nothing
after that. Nothing after that at
yeah.
all.
Yeah. Yeah, it stops there. The offense stops right there. So.
Yep.
And that's the way he plays. That's the way he's been. It's never changed, you know?
The black hole is what I call it in Syracuse. The black hole. Once he got it, it never came out.
That was his glory years.
And like I said, you know that's bad when Atlanta don't want you.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, especially with the roster they have.
And they gave
they
up,
might be thinking about.
And they gave up Dennis. And they gave up Dennis Schroeder. And
which is I like Dennis Schroeder though.
I do too. I do too. That might be the perfect backup or somebody who you can have on the court at the same time with Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that move for OKC. I really do.
Cause you know who it leaves in Atlanta, and, you know, with him making the stop, that's puts him with Jeremy Lin.
Oh man!
and their draft pick, Trae Young.
Right. That's probably why they got rid of Schroeder, to give Trae Young
give
him some run.
Yep, probably get him some. Yeah, and then they got the. But that's it as far as they, I mean, they got Justin Anderson. He's still there, I believe. And then, other than that, the guys probably we can name, we don't even know.
I always thought that Trae would be a bust more than a success. And I know I'm in the minority on saying that with him. But
no, we're both in the minority.
it's just
Trae Young ain't showed me nothing.
Nope, me neither.
He was decent during the regular season in college. Mm-hmm. When he came to the big game, checked out.
Yep, I agree. And the thing that I don't like about him, he's still on the small side. He's gonna have to get a little bit more muscle, bulk up a little bit more. To play the defense that you need. And right now, everybody keeps telling me, well, the NBA don't play no defense, no way. But at some point, he's going to have to play some defense, and that's something he can't do right now. And he's a liability on that. He's a liability on the other side. And the other thing I hate about him, my third thing, turnovers. if you look what he did in college, I believe mm-hmm. he led the NCAA in turnovers. So that's what I don't like. And I don't know if it's a coaching thing. I don't know what it is, but we shall see. I don't know. I'm trying to think. What other score is in Atlanta that can, other than him? Hardaway Jr.'s gone. He's a Nick. I'm trying to look, trying to think back on Atlanta's roster, and I don't know of any other score.
That's in Atlanta. That's the point I was making. There's only, as far as scoring, like I said, there is nobody. You got Jeremy Lin. You got Miles Plumlee playing center. You got Kent Bazemore still there.
But
none of these guys are prolific offensive threats.
Right.
You know, and then you're about to lose Carmelo off this roster to Houston, so it's definitely nothing there. Okay. There's nothing there. They're going to struggle so bad. It's going to be pathetic. I think their oldest player is 29, so they're going to struggle bad. There's nobody there. And these guys are tied in. A couple of these guys are tied in for one more year.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly everybody's got 3 years or more on their contracts with them.
Jesus.
So these guys are tied in for a long time. So with these guys, we don't know none of these guys. Alex Lynn, who the hell is that?
He came from Phoenix. Mm-hmm. He's shown some flashes with Phoenix, but he hasn't been really anything to write home about either.
No, not as far as scoring.
No,
you know, mm-hmm. and by the looks of this roster as it stands right now, the most experienced is Kent Bazemore.
So that
tells you where they're going to be. And Kent Bazemore is not no scorer. He's just a physical presence. He's guys probably the best player on the opposite teams.
Yep.
And that's about all he gives you. And there's not more to it. But they don't have nobody making over $100 million on any contract. So that tells you where their star power is at.
Oh yeah. And if you thought Atlanta didn't, if you thought the fans of the Atlanta Hawks didn't support them before, the team they have, that roster that they have now,
And I can't understand it. Atlanta probably one of those states or one of those cities where, you know, they're star studded. You know, as far as just the ambiance of Atlanta, so it just. I don't know why they never can't get it right with that basketball team.
They haven't gotten it right since the days of Dominique.
Yeah, since the days of Dominique, man. Dominique. It's been a while.
And then you had, and then for a minute, you had Reggie Theus. I never understood why they traded Reggie Theus, because he could play two positions. I thought that was just dumb. I thought the neat move for Danny Manning was stupid. So you traded Dominique for old punk ass Danny Manning.
Damn. So, and it was a GM issue. Didn't they have an incident a couple of years ago? Didn't they have a, who was the GM down there, and they had some conflict? It was racial overtone.
I remember that.
I'm trying to think who the damn GM was at that point. But they had that going on for a while. And when they got rid of him, it just really sunk to a low level of basketball and a low level of competitive players. I think they even lost attendance. I think their attendance had went down mm-hmm. really bad. They got a lot of work to do. I don't know if they, by the looks of the roster, it don't look like they're trying to win anything anytime soon. I think Trey Young was on the board, you don't pass him up at that pick, you know. Yeah. He'll get a ton of playing time. Should get a ton of playing time down there to prove himself. But like I said, Trey Young's 19. He did lead. He played 1 year of college. I think he led the NCAA in assists and turnovers. So he handles the ball quite well. You know, I mean, he touches it quite well. But similarly, he was playing against guys primarily his same skill set, age range, right. And he struggled.
Right.
So we'll see.
Oh, my goodness. All right, let's talk a little bit. We got, believe it or not, we got some news from the Canadian Football League. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not. The first thing I'm going to go over, Teal, you need to sit down. Terrell Owens aims to return to football with a CFL team. There's reports out there saying that there's some CFL teams interested in Terrell Owens making a comeback. Terrell, you need to sit down, man. You just need to sit down. don't even do it to yourself. Once you get that first hit, that might make you sit down right there. Then, in other news, and this was reported a couple of days ago, hit Fox Sports this morning, Johnny Manziel traded to the Montreal Alouettes, reuniting with Mike Sherman, which is a coach that recruited him at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I kind of thought it was interesting that he didn't start for his previous team, but now the Alouettes are saying he could start this week.
Well, I think he was playing. Somebody was playing in front of him. That was pretty good.
Yeah. Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Was it out of Missouri?
I think it was out of I don't know what college you went to, but Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Mm-hmm. Was in front of him. Yes. And Mazzoli's pretty good. Very athletic. He was small like him, but I don't think he was going to get an opportunity to play in front of him. And Mazzoli's probably playing pretty good for those guys. He got traded. He was worth, in Canadian football terms, he was worth, what, 2 first round draft picks?
Yep.
Here's the deal with Johnny. We can't say nothing bad because we've seen steady improvement. Mm-hmm. I think he's still a brand that they just couldn't have him sitting on the sidelines.
Right.
And obviously he showed them that he took the strides to get better, improve on and off the field. The biggest thing I liked about him coming into this Canadian Football League season was he finally got to the point where he admitted he had issues. And he admitted, and of course guys are going to do what they got to do to get in the league to play again. I mean, you know, desperate times calls for desperate measures.
Exactly.
But people talk, and then there's actions. And I believe his actions are genuine. And I think he wants to play the game again at a high level. And I think he's trying to make his way back to the NFL. And if he does, this was a good start. Teams are interested in him. And that was important, that they get back interested in you and want you to play. So if he starts, I'm all for Johnny Manziel. I never really disliked Johnny Manziel. I always thought he wasn't big enough for NFL standards. You know, but as far as him, because LeBron took a liking to him when he came to Cleveland. He pulled him in under his marketing company and wanted to do some things with him, but obviously his off-the-field annex, you know, cost him that opportunity to be a part of that. But I think now, I think we're seeing continuous improvement. We're not hearing anything bad. So I think he goes for it. I think they give him a shot.
I found out who that GM was for the Atlanta Hawks. It was Danny Ferry.
Danny Ferry.
Yep.
Cleveland's finest. I don't know how I didn't remember that. But I knew it was a Danny Ferry was a waste of pick in the NBA from the outset. He didn't do nothing for Cleveland.
He really didn't. He really, really did. He really did. All right. Switch over to some baseball. We had the MLB All-Star game last week. The American League ends up beating the National League 8-6. Had a record 10 homers. So this game was fast-paced. Do you think that can bring fans back to baseball? If they can somehow have games like that? Or does every game have to be 2-1?
baseball is one of those sports that they employ a lot of players.
They do.
Well, I mean, on every level, from majors to the minors to AAA, AA, Single A, rookie ball. I mean, they employ a lot of players. I mean, baseball. I think it can get better. I think it definitely lacks some luster, so to speak, because we're seeing so much. Maybe it's better pitching.
Right.
I think we're seeing better pitching, and I think we're seeing, but we're also seeing some great hitters too. I mean, there's some great players out there. But like I said, I don't. It's America's all-time number one sport. I don't know if it'll change much. I mean, baseball.
But my question is, how can you continue to have that title when the NFL trumps all?
I think it trumps all in regards to media power.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think baseball is just that. Maybe if they cut the seasons down, what do they have? 162 games in a season.
Yep.
So maybe if we could cut that down, and that will cut, even if you cut, let's see, because on average they plan about from April to what? September?
Because you're going from April, se. Yeah.
Then we see the pennant races. So let's say they cut it down 30 games. And that'll put them at, 120. Yeah, 130 games. Mm-hmm. Spread the season out a little bit more. I think it saves pitchers.
Right.
I think it, more than anybody, because nobody works harder than pitchers in baseball.
Right.
Even on 4 or 5 days rest or 3 or 4 days rest, whatever, in between the rotation, they still work the hardest. So I think that saves them, and I think maybe that'll make it more competitive, because we'll still be able to see the stars, the superstars, more often. So I don't know. There's ways they could go about that. But like I said, it's a really numbers game in baseball. It's just, 1 minute we may see a guy pitching, and we may not see him again.
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take for them to get back to prominence, because the only time it's really exciting is during the pennants.
Yeah. Pennant wild card games.
Yeah, in the wild card games.
Mm-hmm. If you have any that year, which you may be guaranteed some, you may not. A lot depends on how the standings play out, but they need to do something, because the only time outside of watching my New York Mets, and they're not watchable, but outside of watching my New York Mets, I really don't get into baseball until pennant time, like you said, and that's a shame. But there's so many games.
Yes,
they're like.
It's a hard cover.
Yeah,
it's a hard cover, because you got to strictly be I mean, if you're going to be, if you're going to cover baseball, I mean, it's a lot to cover. And over football, where you got one game a week, I mean, you know, per se, not one game a week, but one day out of the week where we got, what, 10 games or whatever. That's easy cover.
Yeah.
But baseball, man, you got doubleheaders today, and you got a game every day. You got, you flip the channel, you got four or five different baseball games on at one time. So it's a really tough cover. And you can only really, like we just said, you can only really kind of nail it during the pennant races.
A lot of time you can nail it down and actually really, really break down what's going on. All right. A few more things to we'll get out of here for the night, Gus. Brother got to go to work tomorrow. Jimmy Garoppolo has been reported saying he thought he was better than Tom Brady, and at times he thought they would be at each other's throats. What are your thoughts on that? Should Jimmy G be feeling that way?
No. How many titles did Ruffalo won? Because we gotta go to titles. Because they even put your name in the same sentence. And you've been a mediocre quarterback all your life. And you're gonna have the nerve to say Tom Brady could lose every receiver, put four new receivers in there, and they lead the league in scoring. You know, or they lead the league in touchdowns.
Yep.
You know, what, you know, so Garoppolo ain't never really, what has Garoppolo done?
Really nothing. He's won some games, but he hadn't won anything meaningful, like a playoff game or anything like that.
No.
Because you remember that time before he got traded, he won some games, then he got hurt. And Jacoby Brissett had to go in there for him. And then they decided to trade him over to San Fran. And I think with San Fran, he won five straight with San Fran. So he shows he can win a regular season game. We don't know what he can do in the playoffs yet. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think he wants some, I don't know, some media coverage. Or Garoppolo just, I don't know why would even come out with a statement like that. And then you got a guy, Tom's what, 42?
Mm-hmm.
He's 42 years old, and they're going to make one more run at getting to the championship game.
Yep.
I don't know what Garoppolo is doing. I don't know if he's...
Me neither.
Is he, yeah, what are you doing?
What are you thinking about, man?
Because he's what the 49ers just picked him up?
Yeah. Well, they traded for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he played behind Tom, and you never see the field. For him to even make that statement was insane.
Yeah.
Period. That. Yeah, that was just an insane statement to him. I was better than him. Well, obviously the organization didn't believe him.
Oh, no. Oh, no. And finally, one last thing. Darrell Revis retires, I believe, after 11 seasons with various teams. Where do you think he places within the all-time great DBs?
He was solid. Darrell was solid. I think his days in... Is it Baltimore? Thank you.
I think
he was in Baltimore.
Mm.
I want to say, let's see his NFL career.
I know he was a New York, you know, he primarily known as a New York Jet, and I think he was also a New York Patriot.
I'm sorry. That's where, I'm sorry. Jets, then I think he went to Tampa Bay. And then he did like a year in Tampa Bay,
mm-hmm.
and then he came back and played another couple of years with the Jets. I think the biggest thing with him was he was a great cover guy. I thought he had some great years with the Jets. I don't think he did. I think he played in New England. I think he played 16 games. I don't think he did enough there. I thought he was a piece that they needed, you know, to help them win. But I think, you know, playing in Kansas City, I think his last year, I think he only played like maybe, what, four games, something like that. Started maybe one or two. So at the end of the day, I mean, he had a storied career. I think his thing was, I think he had a kid issue where he had a bunch of kids. I think that came up. So I think he had a bunch of kids, and they say he was paying, you know, mega child support. Not nothing taken away from his football, but, I mean, you know, it was his time. Yeah. It was his time, and he had a great run, and I really wish him the best. I was a big Darrell Revis fan for a while, and liked to see him play. Revis Island is what we called him.
I haven't seen coverage like him. I loved Dale Green back in the day, do not get me wrong. Deion Sanders, ultimate cover dude, and that's where I sort of kind of place Darrell, because when you when you look at him, you can go back and look at film, particularly if he was a Jet. You can go back and look at him, and you can just see he was man on man on the receiver, and everybody else, that gave flexibility for everybody else in that defensive backfield to get on the opposing tight end, to get on opposed to slot receiver, get on opposed to receiver on the outside. You just had Revis locked up on one dude on one side of the field, and that's it. That's what Deion Sanders did, and that's what this guy did. Now, I'm not saying he's in Deion's class, because Deion returned kicks too. He was just amazing, whether it be as a DB or a kick returner. I can't put Darrell in that class, but what, top 10? I think he's top 10 easy.
Top 10?
Top 15?
Cornerback?
Yeah, top 15, top 10, top 15 corner?
I will, because I think he won one ring, right? He won, he won with the Patriots.
The Patriots that year.
I think he was a 7-time Pro Bowler. You know, so I mean, he didn't kill it in the league. I think he was consistent his first 8-9 years.
Yeah,
I say he was consistent. He done some great things, and he'll go to the Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah.
So I don't know about the first ballot guy, but he'll definitely be in the Hall of Fame. I think, you know, the Jets are. You think they'll retire his number?
That's kind of tough. If there were a class organization, I would, because he spent so much time with them there. It wasn't like he did with Tampa just a year and done. He spent a lot of time with them there. So if there any type of a class organization, I think they would do that for him. But you never know. It's the Jets.
Yeah, you never know how they gonna play that one with him, but he's definitely a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he'll be in there. And I think he had a great career, and I think he was probably, when you go back to the top 15, I think when we talk about shutdown corner, he's in the top. I give him the top 8. As far as shutdown.
That's fair. As far as shutdown corners, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I give him, because he always played against the number opposing team's number one receiver. So, yep. And he did a hell of a job. So, yeah, I like that. As far as shutdown, I mean, you couldn't even go to his side.
No.
And I think, once again, Father Time.
Yes.
Undefeated.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. Yep. Most definitely. All right, guys. We're about to go ahead and finish up for the night. But very, very quickly, let's go over the rest of the shows you can catch here on Red End Radio. Tomorrow night, We continue right in programming with the Shining Wizards. That'll be episode 380 at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by the rant at 9 p.m. Eastern with AA and Tony C, episode 556. That'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern. Come back again on Friday at 5 with the with episode 219 of Rant and Wrestling, followed by episode 274, Tom Broker Throwbacks with my brother from another mother, Philly Phil and Choppy. And then we have Sundays, we have the What Are You Reading comic book show at 5 p.m. Eastern with my man Surfer. And then on Monday, it would be this fine show, The Sports Report, episode number 61. Can't believe we made it to 60. At 11:15 p.m. Eastern. Gene, got anything else you want to get out there before we roll out for tonight?
No, I think we covered a lot tonight. I tell the whole had some great points, and I think for the most part, you know, I really would like to. Hopefully, we can get our panelists from episode 59 back.
Okay, definitely work on that.
Yeah, we'll try to get those guys back. I really enjoyed doing the podcast with those guys, and very informative guys, and I thought that went pretty smooth.
Charles is local, and I can get on the phone with him. Nick, I have to go on Facebook, and Doom, I can just text Doom and see if he wants to join us, so definitely we can get that going. I do want to say very, very quickly before we roll out, Tony Sperano passed away at age 56 on Sunday. Reports said he died of heart disease. So I just want to say real quick, rest in peace to Tony Sperano. God bless you and your family. He, of course, was the Vikings offensive line coach, and he was also the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and of the Raiders as well. Gene, I thank you for calling in as always, man. And I will see And I will see the rest of you guys next week. Have a safe, good, positive week. And I'll see you next time. Take care.
Yep. See ya.